Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
We praise Thee, O God, our Redeemer, Creator. In grateful devotion, our tribute we bring. We lay it before Thee. We kneel and adore Thee. We bless Thy holy name. Glad praises we sing. From Romans chapter 2, verse 1, Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for when thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. We are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness, and forbearance, and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath, and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life, but unto them which are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile, for there is no respect of persons with God. So far we read God's holy word. Let's come before Him in prayer, asking that we might have the application of these words, and especially the way of repentance, that which humbles us before God and brings us to the right place before Christ. Our Father, we come to Thee through Christ Jesus. We come asking in His name for the leading of Thy Spirit. We know that we have here a perfect word, but we will not understand it rightly, except thy Spirit lead us into all truth, except he convict us and condemn us, and then lead us in the way of Christ, and we pray for that to take place in the church, that it may be revived in the world, that many lost might be awakened to the lost condition and cry out, what must I do to be saved? And many might cry, Father, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And we pray, Father, that that will take place in the future, much more than it is in the present and the past. We see a withholding of thy Spirit, and we pray for more laborers to be called to go into all the fields that are white of the harvest, where the laborers are few, both in our nation and others, less and less in England and Europe. And we pray, Father, that thou would also bless those that are holding to thy word, are even suffering for it, in such lands as Iran and Afghanistan and China, where there seems to be a church that is much more true than in our own land. And we pray, Father, for those who are there, that they may be the salt and the light, not only of their own land, but that it may reach to other lands. Even as the awakening in South Korea some years ago was a blessing for other nations as well. And we pray that that may take place from those nations where there is sore persecution, but seems to be a church that is thriving. We pray, Father, that we might realize the danger in our nation, where we are so lukewarm, and where the church is not a salt to the government, to the homes, to the schools. We pray that the church might rightly realize it, and again become a salt that is needed so bad. We pray, Father, for thy blessing on those in sickness and injury. We pray for those in sickness that they might have healing through Christ, the great physician, and also those that are injured with the earthquakes and the war, the tornadoes, other calamities of nature that have come. And we pray especially for those in the lands where there are earthquakes, that they may not only have the blessing of homes provided and everyday needs, but above all, they might have the gospel preached to them in those Islamic lands. We pray that thou wilt now guide us in this word. Thou wilt lead us that thy name might be hallowed and thy kingdom might come through it and be made manifest, and thy will might be done on earth as it is in heaven, all through Christ, in whose name we give thanks. Amen. Continuing our thoughts here on this first chapter, realizing we are all guilty, and we can often see the sin in others much better than ourselves. God gives us the message here. When we judge others, we do the same things, though they may not be exactly alike. It is all the same in not obeying God's holy law and not loving Him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength, nor our neighbors ourselves. And we are all guilty in that. And as we will see further, the third chapter tells us in verse 23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and all need what follows, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We all need that together. And if we see ourselves as we should see ourselves, we will see that we are the chief of sinners, knowing it of ourselves, like Paul did, and could give that confession. We need to come back to know that we have here some strong reproof, a warning. In verse 2, we read, we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things, referring to the things of the past chapter. The last part of that first chapter gives us 20-some sins, and through the middle of the chapter, we also have many sins, especially the one sin that we are so guilty of in our nation today, and that is not giving God glory as Creator. We promote the terrible lie of evolution. The lie is taught almost in all the schools, colleges, universities, and sadly in the seminaries. They are teaching that lie and not giving God glory, and it has put us in the darkness and made us become foolish, as we read in verse 22. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things, and not giving God the place that we should, we grieve the Spirit and put ourselves in darkness, and it leads to further problems, as we see further in that chapter, the danger of giving over to a reprobate mind in verse 38. And in some ways we are there, especially with the terrible sin of abortion. It is a reprobate mind that calls this a right. Terrible, terrible, terrible wrong. Murdering babies in their mother's womb. Often tearing their bodies apart. Terrible. Terrible sin against them. Terrible sin against God. They are created in His image, and He knows all of them before they are formed in their mother's womb. And I know I'm repeating this often, but we have to repent of it. Judgment will certainly come when we murder and kill the innocent. God could not pardon Judah's sin because of the murder of the innocent. He brought them terrible judgment on Judah and Jerusalem after the time of Jeremiah. And we need to see that as an example. And we need to see it here, the call to repentance. What a terrible thing if we don't recognize God's call to repentance as is described here. We mentioned it last week, but I want to go over it again in verse 4. Despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. There are those who just take the last part of this verse and say, well, the goodness of God leads us to repentance. We see His goodness and we repent. But that is not what Paul is here saying. He says, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth to repentance. And the goodness is not just in seeing God's goodness in many different ways, but it's the goodness of God that actually brings us to repentance. And we mentioned that last week, but I want to mention it again, because many do not realize all salvation is all of grace. It is all a gift. And that includes repentance. Repentance, though it is a command, it is also a gift. Sadly, it will not take place unless God gives it as a gift. He commands us to repent, but left to ourselves, we do not do so. We go on, as Paul here writes, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. We will rather continue to hate the light than have the light call us to repentance. And I would like to repeat the places in Scripture that tell us it is a gift. And as we read it here, we can see that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. And also, we read in the book of Acts, the Lord Jesus came to give repentance and forgiveness of sins. Acts chapter 5, verse 31. And then also, we see in Acts chapter 11, verse 18, after Peter came back from Cornelius, and the people found fault in him doing that, then he rehearsed it, and they came to the conclusion, then hath God granted unto the Gentiles repentance unto life. God granted that. He brought them to that place. When we read the earlier part of the history of Cornelius, we think he was a good man, but he had to repent, and he had to believe the gospel, and the summary of it was that God granted them repentance unto life. Repentance unto Christ. And that is a necessary happening in our life. We must have such repentance that leads us to Christ. Many think of repentance as changing from our sin to a better way. That certainly is included. It was there very plainly with John the Baptist, but we must also see that repentance is more than that. Repentance is actually humbling us. Repentance before God is to know that at the beginning of our relationship with God, we are lost. That must be acknowledged. Christ said He came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Repentance is coming humbling before God, knowing we are the sinner that the Scripture describes. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. It's very easy to just quote that, pass it off, but it is true of you and me, of everyone else. There is none that doeth good, No, not one. That's why we have to repent of acknowledging that. We have to see ourselves as that kind of a sinner, first of all, not just to be called away from it, to begin to do better, but to know how bad we are, to know that we are hell-deserving sinners. That's what we are. We have earned the wages of sin, which is death, and we must realize it, and we must come before God in that way. That's all we are, is hell-deserving sinners, until we have Christ. He alone makes the difference, not ourselves. No one repents to a place where they are better or that way before God that they are then righteous. We should turn, and we do turn somewhat in our conversion, but the first thing we have to see is how sinful we are. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Lord. They are foolishness to him, as Paul writes to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul writes to the Romans and says, the carnal man is enmity against God. Enmity. Commanded to love, and we have enmity. Hatred. Christ said to Nicodemus, everyone that does evil hates the light. Everyone. That includes you and me. And we have to believe it. It's hard for us to believe that we are that bad. We don't like to think it. We don't like to believe it. But it's there. Sadly, it's again only when the Holy Spirit convicts us that we will believe it. When I first heard it, I believed the Word of God like the shallow ground. We believe in Christ without true repentance, without true humbling. We even think we do part of the salvation by coming to God and coming to Christ, but we have to be brought. We have to be humbled and then brought, and that is the way of repentance, bringing us to know we are at enmity, to know that there's none that doth good, no, not one. I repeat it and repeat it and repeat it, but do we really believe it of ourselves? We believe it of others sometimes, but as we read here, though that judgest another, doest the same things. And it's also true in a negative way. Those that don't love God, neither do we at all as we should. None that give God glory. And then we go on here for the description of who we are and what we are in verse 5. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. That's me. That's you. After the hardness and impenitent heart, treasures up unto thyself wrath. When we go by the shallow ground, we don't do that. We don't think that. We just think we come to Christ. We often come to Christ without repentance, without truly humbling who we are, without knowing the hatred, the enmity that is there. We need to see that hardness of heart. Jeremiah writes, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The deceitful heart does not want to acknowledge that. The deceitful heart tells us we are doing well, and we are doing probably better than others, but not true. God is speaking to those in the church by the pen of Paul, to the Roman church. I know he is not probably speaking to all of them equally. He does speak quite strongly, especially to those that are teachers, Father, in this chapter. He describes these here particularly as the hardness and impenitent heart, treasured up unto thyself wrath. First of all, before anything happens in our way of reconciliation with God, or God reconciling us, we are in the way of children of wrath. Why? Because we sin. As Paul writes to the church at Ephesus in Colossians, for these things' sake cometh the wrath of God on the children of disobedience. That's the reason. As Paul describes the church at Ephesus, way before Paul came there to preach to them, and Apollos preached to them, and they became a church united with Christ, born again by the way of uniting with him. Before that, they were children of wrath, even as others. All of those in the world that come to Christ all of those that become children of God in the church are before that time children of wrath, even as others, all the same together. All of us have that hardness and a penitent heart until God gives us repentance. And along the way, He commands us to repent. All the world, as Paul said to the Ephesians, record Acts chapter 17, God commands all men everywhere to repent. And Christ gives the warning in His message. When He began to preach, the first thing that is recorded in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then Mark also records the beginning of His message, repent ye and believe the gospel. Different times, Christ gives the warning of repentance. When they told Him about those that Pilate had mingled their blood with the sacrifices, Christ says, you think they were worse than other Galileans? I tell you nay. But then to His audience He said, I tell you that except you repent, you will likewise perish. And then another example of others on whom a tower fell, and again repeated those words, except you repent, you will likewise perish. We have it all through Scripture, but we do not know that it's goodness of God that's calling us to repentance, and we do not even know in the beginning the goodness of God when He brings us to repentance, when He brings us by the Spirit as well as the Word, and that must happen. That's what we need to pray for, that the Spirit will accompany the Word, what is being preached today. It is not being preached as much as it has been in the past. We are going away from God in so many different ways, but we have still the message that is there. We have the Scripture that has not changed and will not change. Isaiah writes, man is like the grass, that in the morning it flourishes and the evening is cut down, but the Word of God remaineth. It is here. As Moses wrote part of the Scripture, we have it. As Isaiah wrote part of Scripture, we have it, and it will not change. And now here we are considering what Paul wrote to the church at Rome, and that was for them those 1900 years ago, and is for us today the very same, describing us. Again, verse 5, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. We don't always feel that hardness, but it's there. God says, today, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. We carelessly do not listen. We go on in our sin. We don't think it's so bad. We make excuses for it. We justify it. We go on. But God sees it as the hardness of heart. He sees it as the heart getting harder. As again those words from Psalm 95, Paul repeats them in Hebrews chapter 3 and 4. Today, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. If we don't hear it, we are hardening it. And we have what we read here. After thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasures up unto thyself wrath. And especially those of us who have had the Word, who have been told the Word, who have been called to repentance, called to faith, called to obedience, we treasure ourselves wrath if we don't do God's will. I know it by experience. I know that sins that were there were not thought of as they should have been thought of, and not realized how guilty I was until later. And then all I can say is they were terrible, but I didn't see them as terrible at the time. And during that time that we did not recognize them, and did not confess them, and did not turn from them, we were in the hardness of heart. We have to realize we, with others, are not only guilty, but we are going to receive thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Verse 6, who will render to every man according to his deeds. Every man, you, me, and everyone else, according to his deeds. If we go on in the hardness of our heart, how we need to pray that God will give us repentance. The command is there to repent, and the examples are there of those that did repent. We need to pray that God will make us come to that fullness of repentance. We need to see it in the beginning of salvation that Paul described how he preached repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. That was his message. He mentioned it to the church at Ephesus the last time he visited them. He had brought that message to them earlier, but now he again is calling these people to repent. Later, toward the end of this letter, he says it's high time to wake out of sleep. Part of the waking up is waking up to repent, as well to believe, to be revived in obedience, but especially in the way of repentance. If we don't repent, we will stay under the wrath of God, and we will be brought under the wrath of God. If there's no repentance, it's a sign we have not truly been converted. We have not become the good ground. We remain then probably the shallow ground of believing in Christ without being humbled, believing in Christ without coming to the necessary way of repentance as God has it in His Word. Then he describes it further of the blessing that God will give to those who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. Part of that is for the lost to seek eternal life, but mainly Paul is here speaking to those who are working out their salvation. As Paul writes to the Philippians, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And that's probably what he's thinking about here when he states in the 7th verse, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. They seek for the glory of God. They seek for the honor of God. They are seeking the life of immortality and eternal life. That should be our goal, that we are sure. Peter says, make your calling and election sure. And Paul says, examine yourself whether they be in the faith. And here we have that same thought, honor and immortality, eternal life. And then the opposite in verse 8 and 9. And we'll have to leave that for another week. Our time is gone, but the question we have to ask ourselves, have I repented? Have I come to agree with what God's Word says of me and my natural state first of all? None that doeth good, no, not one. Enmity against God. The Holy Spirit comes, He will convict of sin because they believe not on me, the Lord Jesus said. We have to see all those sins, and we have to see our guilt in it. As George Whitefield said, we have to see the sin of unbelief, we have to see the sin of disobedience concerning the law, and we have to see the sin of our natural way of enmity. Do we see it in repentance? And then that will lead to one hope, hope in Christ alone. Yes, alone, none in self. Reading the second stanza from the song, we worship Thee, God of our fathers, we bless Thee. Through life's storm and tempest, our guide hast Thou been. When perils o'ertake us, escape Thou wilt make us, and with Thy help, O Lord, our battles we win.
To God be the glory, great things He hath done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, visit their website at calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship, sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord.